yay, oh yay, oh yay. All persons having business before the Honorable, the United States Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit, are admonished to draw near and give their attention, for the court is now sitting. God save the United States and His Honorable Court. Be seated, please. Case number 07-3407. United States of America, Rodney M. Dorsey, appellant. Mr. Dorsey for the appellant. Mr. Dorsey for the appellant.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court. My name is Daniel Dorsey. I represent Mr. Rodney Wilson. We are here to we'd ask to reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal. We request this court to reverse the judgment, the finding of the trial court. Our reasons are set forth in our brief, basically that we believe the trial court clearly erred and abused its discretion by applying a four-level enhancement to Mr. Wilson's sentence, based on the fact that the court used information that the marijuana that Mr. Wilson pled guilty to as a possession as a felony quid, and this four-level enhancement raised Mr. Wilson's sentence up from what he should have had approximately about 57 months up to 70 months, what the court gave him.
Well, didn't he admit when he answered yes to, did you possess the firearms and ammunition in connection with felony offenses?
Yes, Your Honor, but the felony offense that the government used to as the felony offense was the Arlington conviction of Puid. It's stated right in the government's. They said the felony offense that they're going to use is the conviction of Puid cocaine in Arlington, not the marijuana.
Is that clear from the record?
Yes, Your Honor.
All right.
And that is wrong because?
Your Honor,
The
error is because the court under Booker should have used testimonial evidence to prove that the marijuana was basically used for possession rather than, or possession with intent to distribute rather than the government's statement that they there were certain things that were found in the house. They should have had, the government had their expert ready to testify, and the court never had the expert testify to those facts to prove that.
What was his explanation of the marijuana?
The defense counsel had a witnesses that were going to testify, sons of Mr. Wilson, that were going to claim that the marijuana was theirs to distribute, and they were the ones distributing the marijuana.
But he pleaded guilty to possessing it, right?
He pleaded guilty to the first count of possession of a firearm with a felony offense, and the felony offense that the government used was the Puid in Arlington.
But if you possess marijuana to enable your sons to distribute it, that's not possession with intent to distribute.
When Mr. Wilson was arrested by the police, he indicated to them that he had 2 ounces of marijuana and guns in his home. He didn't tell the police that he had 100 pounds of marijuana. And when the police did the search report, that's when they found the 100 pounds of marijuana.
I see.
But it was his home.
Excuse me, Your Honor?
But it was his home.
It was his.
The marijuana was at his home?
Yes, Your Honor. Mm-hmm. Shared by other people. Yes. And if you look at the, Mr. Wilson also received, three points for one conviction in marijuana of Puid cocaine. He received another 3 points for the other conviction of cocaine. And also that was used as part of his felony offense to what he pled guilty to, and then he received the 4-level bump up for the Puid marijuana that was never proven, the facts were never proven by testimony evidence.
So let's assume, as I guess to some extent the district judge did, that there isn't the 4-point bump is not authorized. Why is the increase in sentence unreasonable? Like what level of scrutiny? Are there any circumstances where you think an increase above the guidelines is reasonable? And if so, why isn't this one?
Well, I suppose the court could have given him up to a maximum of 10 years, which was the penalty, as opposed to, since the guidelines are advisory, they could have, he could have easily have done that, which Mr. Wilson knew about. And the government was not going to argue anything outside the guidelines that they had submitted. So if the guidelines were lower than the 70 months, then the judge would have used his discretion of going higher than when he gave him the 70 months.
I'm sorry. I still don't have your theory as to what the limits on reasonable increases above the guidelines are. We're just saying there aren't any.
I just don't think that the judge, well, the judge, of course, the judge has his discretion. He could give Mr. Wilson up to a maximum of 10 years.
Well, you're basically invoking the limit of reasonableness, and I guess the question, if we put aside the four-point bump, is what that means. What that means as between the district judge and the Court of Appeals.
Then the reasonableness would be the lower guideline level, which would be 40, I think it was 48 months to.
I'm sorry, why is that more reasonable?
Because based on all the characteristics, that Mr. Wilson had behind him, the court had no reason to go above that level, and that was the level the government was going to argue that guideline level anyways.
Well, the court was convinced that he was basically a professional drug dealer, right?
Yes.
Isn't that a fair characterization?
Well, a nickel and dime dealer, mm-hmm. Okay. Small dealer.
All right.
Which he admitted to previously.
And is 70 months, how are we to say that 70 months is unreasonable, if that's the case?
Well, I suppose if you did remand it back down and said, you have to have a hearing to prove whether or not the marijuana is for.
No, I'm assuming we don't have the four-point bump.
Which, at least in part,
seemed to be the assumption of the district judge.
Right. So then the reasonableness would be the lower level of the guidelines without the four-point bump.
Why is that reasonable?
Because, well, that's where his based on all the characteristics of when they run the pre-sentence report, where his guidelines would fall out to. And then the court is going to have to justify going above that that level.
Going above the bottom of the. Of the guidelines range?
It was, the bottom was 48, I believe, to 57 months. So if the court is going to go above that, they're going to have to justify why they went above that.
But you're making the stronger argument that the court has to justify going above the bottom of the guidelines.
Yes.
Why is that? Why on earth is that?
I don't think I understand your question, Your Honor.
You seem to be arguing that under normal circumstances, in review for reasonableness post-Booker, we have to reverse a sentence that is above the bottom of the guidelines range.
Yes.
Do you have any cases supporting that?
Not off the top of my head, Your Honor, I don't.
I want to make sure I understand correctly. If a sentence is within the guideline range but not at the bottom, it has to be findings to justify that?
If the sentence is
within the guideline range, but it's not at the bottom of the range.
Right. No.
There has to be findings to justify moving up from the bottom, even though still within the guideline range?
Well, in this case, he wasn't inside the guideline.
I know that.
Right. No, Your Honor.
You're not saying
no. Mm-hmm.
What do we do about the Judge Walton when he said, even if the 104 grams of marijuana were not in play, I don't think that would make a difference in reference to what sentence I would give him. I mean, he went to some pains to say he thought this guy, based on his history, was a bad actor. And even if he didn't count the 100 pounds, he would still give him that sentence based on his criminal history.
Yes, he did say that, Your Honor, yes. And he did say that he was not inclined to go.
I mean, what's unreasonable about that? If we don't have to consider the 100 pounds and whether he meant to distribute those or those belonged to his son, if we don't have to consider that because he said, even if I didn't consider that.
Then you would have to say that the trial court has the sheer discretion to pick any sentence they want, even if it's above the advisory guideline levels.
Well, there obviously is some range of discretion for the judge to do this.
Yes, Your Honor.
since the guidelines have become advisory.
Yes, Your Honor.
Now, why isn't what was said here enough to justify that exercise of discretion?
I'm kind of stuck. I can't give an answer to that, Your Honor, because it is possible that the judge has been reasonable, even if he didn't include the 104 grams of marijuana.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
May it please the court, Leslie Ann Gerardo on behalf of the United States. The sentence imposed by the district court in this case was, in fact, reasonable. The court, while it did not make an ultimate factual finding as to the applicability of the 2K1.1 enhancement, the court did consider whether the sentence that would result if that enhancement were not applied, and that would be a sentencing range of between 46 to 57 months, the court did consider whether that sentence would be, in the court's view, appropriate. Given the court's concerns about the appellant's criminal history, his poor prior adjustment to probation, the fact that he had this pending matter in Virginia and admitted to the authorities at the time of his arrest in Virginia that he was a nickel and dime drug dealer, that he had marijuana in his apartment, the finding of the marijuana in that apartment, it was reasonable and justifiable for the district court to reject the 57 months as an appropriate sentence.
Could we just pin down the marijuana and the distribution? You say in your brief that defense counsel offered to show that it was the sons who were in the business of peddling this marijuana. Is the marijuana in question the 104 grams or a larger quantity? And if it's a larger quantity, is it established that the defendant had possession of the larger quantity?
In terms of the amount, I believe it is 104 grams and also alternatively referred to in the record as about 4 ounces.
Mm-hmm.
Appellant admitted at numerous times that he possessed the marijuana. He admitted it
this
in
the
plea.
104 grams.
That's correct.
Right.
He then began, as I understand the record, there's a little bit missing, I think, from the record in that appellant apparently never had one of the status hearings transcribed at which there may have been a discussion on what the felony offense that would trigger that. Let me back up. In the plea agreement, appellant admitted that he possessed the weapons in connection with felony offenses.
Right.
There seems to be some question. At some point, there was some thought on the part of the parties that that felony offense would be the Virginia case. The parties then moved off that point and started looking at the marijuana as the basis for that. Appellant admitted that he possessed the marijuana. He admitted it in the plea agreement. He admitted it during the plea colloquy. Once that became an issue, however, he started backtracking so that at the time of the first sentencing hearing, the hearing immediately before the sentence was imposed, which I believe is in October, appellant started to say, well, I possessed it, but I didn't possess all of it. I possessed it in connection with other people. And his attorney at that point
proffered.
You're still
talking about the 104 grams?
Yes. Still the same parcel of marijuana.
Okay.
There was the prosecutor represented on the record to the district court that in addition to the 104 grams of marijuana, there were scales and glassine bags found in the apartment. At that point, defense counsel proffered, well, even if that's true, that doesn't mean my client was the one distributing it. In fact, his sons were the ones who were selling the drugs from appellant's apartment. And so the district court clearly stated. So what you're saying, as I understand you, you're admitting he possessed it. You're admitting that the amount would be consistent with an intent to distribute under the circumstances. You're just saying the two pieces don't go together, that he's not the one who intended to distribute. And defense counsel affirmed, yes, that's exactly our position. You know, that's cutting it. even if that were true, the fact that it's appellant's apartment and his sons are selling the drugs from the apartment, he's at a minimum aiding and abetting their distribution. He's sharing with them, which in and of itself is a distribution. I mean, there's just no way around.
Okay. That was basically my understanding of it. Thank you.
So to conclude, our position is that the sentence was reasonable because the trial court did all it needed to do. It examined the applicable guidelines. It rejected the lower possible guideline range for clearly articulated reasons. It imposed a sentence that was consistent with the alternative guideline range, the range that the probation office had imposed, finding that that sentence satisfied all the requirements of the sentencing statutes. And for that reason, the sentence should be affirmed. If the court has no further questions. Thank you.
How much time's left, you know?
6 seconds remaining.
We'll give you 2 minutes for rebuttal.
Well, Your Honor, if you don't have any questions, I'll just leave it over.
All right, thank you, counsel. You were appointed to represent the defendant in this case, and the court thanks you for your evidence.
Thank you, Your Honor.